When we started writing our thoughts down on paper, it opened up endless possibilities. Ideas could grow beyond the borders of the mind, and it changed the world. Somewhere along the way, we lost touch with paper, distracted by devices made for every purpose except for thinking and focus. On edge, waiting for the next notification. But what if new technology didn't pull us away from paper, but brought us closer to it? Listen. That's not paper. It's the sound of the new Remarkable Paper Pro, rewriting the future. A paper tablet with a true color ink display, gentle reading light, and unheard of tactility. With digital features for taking notes, thinking, and organizing, without any distractions. Paper is about to change the world again. Get your paper tablet at remarkable.com today.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Mark Groves Podcast. Today I'm coming at you with a solo episode, and if you missed it previously, I'm going to be doing more solo episodes and less guest ones. I've been feeling really inspired to have more conversations with just you and I. And it's not that I feel like I've already had all the conversations you can have in the subject of relationship, because of course that's ridiculous as a notion, and I'll always be a student and will continue to be. But I'm just going to be so highly selective, not in a hierarchical way, but in what do I want to share with the world? Not what do I think you want to hear, although that, of course, is what guides a lot of content. But it's like, what does my heart want to speak of? And trusting that, you know, as I think it's Rick Rubin says, like, art is created just for the sake of art. And the audience always comes last. And of course, that's not very relational to say you come last, because you don't come last. But I have to trust the calling of my heart and what it desires, because it's never misled me. And, you know, if you've been listening for a long time, you've experienced the stumbles and trials and tribulations and the creation of identity, the melting of it, all in real time. And I live pretty much all of my growth out loud. And there's, of course, some save for the privacy of my relationship and myself, but the majority is used as a way of teaching. And that is something I actually really thrive upon. And I think that's a lot of reason why you have resonated with the things I share, is talking about my own navigation and challenges of life's sticky moments. And, you know, I used to think, when I say used to, man, maybe it's 20 minutes ago I dropped it and maybe it'll come back. But I used to think that I would arrive at a place and peace would be there always. Like, I'd achieve something and then there would be peace, or I'd make enough money and then there would be peace, or I'd get into a relationship and then there would be peace. And you realize that the expectation of no conflict in your experience in the world or with yourself or with your work or with anything is a ridiculous expectation that's only going to create suffering. So it's when we realize that peace is not found in any of those places. And, you know, even the idea that peace is something that you create within yourself, within the circumstances of your life, that could feel really challenging when the circumstances of your life feel really fucked up. And man, you know, I gotta say, like, it feels like life just delivers a lot of fuckery. And sometimes it can feel like it's all against us, that, like, why is this not working? Why is that not working? And I think it's just trusting that the universe is always trying to make things better. It's always trying to make you better. And we can't see when we're in the midst of the meltdown or the disarray or the loss or the ending or the beginning or whatever it is, that there is a plan. There is a plan. And I really think it's a merger of two principles. One from, I'm forgetting her name right now, but where she talks about how we're always doing the best we can with what we have. But when you know better, do better. And I think that's it, is those two principles. We're always doing the best we can with what we have, is a compassionate lens to see what has gotten you to where you are in your life. But then the second one is really what creates the accountability and I think alleviates a lot of the suffering of the things that happen in our lives. And that is when you know better, do better. And the audio that inspired this conversation is one that I listened to at the Reality Center in Santa Monica. My friend Caitlin Carehart shared with me this experience she had there. And they've combined sound with light with vibration. So I really wanted to go try this out because there's been a lot of conversation about it being used to successfully heal complex trauma and to help people regulate their nervous systems and let things go. And I really wanted to try it out. One, so I could report back to you. And two, which should be number one, for me. I'm very curious about how you exist in a meat suit with biology that was not designed for all this technology. How do you exist in that, in this experience, this digital world with an analog body? Because it's not about throwing it all away or getting rid of it, because that's not going to happen. But it is about taking proper care of your body and yourself so you can relate to it. You know, it's like recently I was speaking at a creator's conference and I was saying it's, if you are enslaved by the algorithm, you know, and you don't have to be a creator to be enslaved by an algorithm. Like, how many likes did it get? How many comments did it get? Or, you know, even the algorithm in the way that it feeds you that hijacks your attention. We just don't want to acknowledge the big elephant in the room, which is we are all part of an experiment and it is fucking us. But the real key is deciding how it's going to fuck you. I don't mean to use the poor language, but it has, like, how is it going to mess with you? You have to decide how you're going to relate to this thing. The moment it is choosing, you're in addiction land. You're in a codependent relationship. And so we have to insert choice back where we seemingly have none. And so it's deciding how you're going to relate to the algorithm, deciding how you're going to relate to content creation, deciding how you're going to relate to being attached to your phone. And I say all that because it's imperative that we do the proper tuning and maintenance of our nervous system. And this place was incredible. I mean, I laid on this waterbed type thing, eyes closed, headphones on, with this light mechanism above my eyes. And for about an hour, I was led through music. And the music was, you know, so beautiful and grounding and some with lyrics and words that kind of led you through a guided meditation. But the vibration would hit, you know, in the music and I would feel it in my body and it was expansive. I mean, it was like doing psychedelics without doing psychedelics. I couldn't imagine what it would be like to do psychedelics and do it. It would probably be even more profound, but it was profound on its own. And one of the audios that they played was the John Hopkins, Ram Dass, East Forest song called Sit Around the Fire. And it's a really beautiful audio. I listened to it years ago, but it didn't really resonate in the way that it did, maybe based on the environment I was in. You know, and I really wanted to speak to you about it, about some of the messages of this audio. And I'll put the link in the show notes so you can just go listen to it to yourself. But I just thought to myself that we all have to decide in this moment what kind of life we want to live, what kind of relationships we want to have, what kind of existence we want to have. And I just thought to myself, like, what are we doing staying in stagnant relationships? And that doesn't mean you leave them, but it means why are we letting them stay stagnant? Why do we have music in our hearts that we do not let out? Why do we have dreams of other things and we stay in these narrow boxes of identities, these traps of our politics and our pros and our antis and our bullshit? And it's just, I think, like, how dare we? How dare we betray our own souls like that? How dare we betray the magic of the energy of our bodies? How dare we betray the intuition that we have? How dare we betray the relationship we have and the responsibility we have to our children and to the people around us? Even if we don't have kids, it doesn't matter. Everybody is watching the life we live. And we think that when they don't like the life we live, that that is evidence that the life we're living is not one to be lived. And I'm not talking about the ones where we're addicted to drugs or we're addicted to shit or we're causing destruction, we're toxic. If people don't like that, that's really important stuff to not like. We need the negative social feedback to see how we're experienced by the world. And that's important. And we need to do that from trusted sources, not just someone with a fucking blank profile picture on Instagram. People we know, people who love us, people who speak truth to us, people who want the best for us. But have you ever had it where you've set a boundary or left a relationship or said something or talked about a dream and the people who are supposed to support and love us actually are the ones who cut us at the knees? This is this really important differentiation moment, and it's actually an important initiation that everybody who is claiming their own soul and their own self must go through. It's not an optional one. It doesn't mean you won't find cheerleaders in the pockets of the people who are in your life or in the groups of people you surround yourself with as you take on a new belief, a new possibility, as you let old paradigms and identities die. But a necessary initiation that must happen is if you are in a group of people who complain about life, who are complaining and they connect through their wounds and they are constantly talking about their limitations and the victimization and the lack of fairness. This isn't saying that people haven't been through shit. This isn't saying you can't acknowledge what they've been through. This isn't saying that trauma doesn't exist. This isn't saying any of the shit that people get all caught up on because they want to argue every fucking nuance of every fucking thing instead of just taking fucking responsibility for their lives. So instead it's like, well, you're not speaking to every possible and you're discounting and you're minimizing and you're blah, blah, blah. It's like, what the fuck are we doing staying stuck in these fucking arguments about nothing? We are so busy. When I say we, I say us, I say maybe not you, but maybe me. Which this exhaustion of trying to create language that includes every possible experience for the possibility that someone will not feel included in some expression, and the epitome of this being on social media, where a post or a 60-second video didn't speak to the nuances of every life and every experience. And I recently was speaking about how I don't consume the news. I don't like it. It's dysregulating for me. I find it really makes me start to get doom and gloom about the world. If I'm really curating my mind and my thoughts and my world, then I can't have it as part of my diet. It doesn't mean I don't know what's going on or get things sent to me, etc., etc. But what I'm really tired of is this expectation that everyone's platform must be used for other people's causes. And then the response to that, of course, is how incredibly privileged it is that you get to not talk about things. Well, sheet, if I talk about one side of one thing, there's another side coming at me. So there's no such thing as winning. There's no such thing as pleasing anyone. I'm not even interested in the game. But I think we are done with this period of the shaming and blaming game and the use of social shame and exile and cancel and all that as a mechanism of modulating the behavior of others in order to try to resource and regulate our own nervous systems. There is an incredible coddling that has been happening, and that coddling needs to stop. Because what does not serve you and I is not being exposed to the truth of how we're experienced by the world, but also the truth of our own behavior. And also, what does not serve us is for everyone to always agree with everything we say. Of course not. But I see so many people afraid to be themselves, afraid to stand for reality, because they're afraid of facing the tsunami of words and pushback. and they forget about themselves. They forget what matters to them. And it's like, how dare you not bring to life the thing you most want to bring to life because someone told you they don't think you can do it? So that means what they told you is more important than what your own soul is calling you towards. How many times have you reached for words or a dream or a possibility and someone said something or did something that made you not believe in yourself? Which means they just don't believe in themselves. When the people who are most supposed to support us and most supposed to cheer us on, we have to face belonging to ourselves in the face of not belonging to them. That is part of the initiation of moving in to your own power. And one of my favorite quotes from the audio is, "The real work is in the privacy of your own heart." The real work is in the privacy of your own heart. That you need to get quiet and open your heart. That you need to take the time to be still so you can hear your own thoughts. And as you hear your own thoughts, your mind becomes more quiet. And as your mind becomes more quiet, you can now hear yourself. The real you that's below the ruminating and the catastrophizing and the strategizing and the all of it. And recognizing that thinking is important, but the mind, as a quote I once heard, the mind can never understand what it is created within. That the mind is part of this. So when you want to get to deep conceptual understanding of life and a future you want to create and intuition and guidance and all of that, it cannot be done through the mind because the mind is part of the 3D. You will not be able to think yourself into a relationship with whatever God you desire. It's just not possible because the mind seeks logic, but logic is not available in faith. And as I heard recently from Anthony DeMello, faith is just insecurity. Think about that. To have faith in what you want to create and who you are is really the act of continuing to move forward in the face of insecurity. In the audio, Ram Dass says, "It's time to see through the absurdity of your own predicament. You aren't who you thought you were." I consider this a lot, this idea of imagining yourself as a blank slate, that your name is not whatever it is, that my name is not Mark. And if my name's not Mark and I wasn't born into a family in Canada and I didn't have an immigrant mother, and I didn't, you know, get taught the things I was taught about marriage and love and education, who would I be if I wasn't a man? Taught what a man was, who would I be? Who am I below the frameworks of my mind? Who are you below your circumstances? Because when you seek things like, how do I decide whether to stay or go in this relationship? How do I decide what to pursue in terms of my passion? Should I start the podcast? Should I say the thing? Should I do the thing? Should I bring up that hard conversation? Should I? All of it is in the framework of strategy. And I'm not saying strategy isn't important. But what I'm saying is if you go below all of it, I just feel like there is a beautiful path that exists way below the path we think we're supposed to walk. You know, it's like how we're taught when we're young that you need to get this degree and do this thing and teach and, you know, get married by this age and have kids by that age. And as I say this, I might be finding you in any one of those stages. Never get divorced. And as you get older, you're too old for love. You're too old for vitality and fitness. And all of these are just, you know, kind of like the average. I don't even know if they're average, but they're kind of like what someone else has figured out is the idealized life. But you know, it's like when you learn that the challenge of being in an employed job, which this is not saying you shouldn't, I'm just talking about a framework here, is that you will always be limited by the earnings of that job or that band or whatever, you know, your company might relate to it as. That the wealth will always be predetermined. The earning level will always be predetermined. Just like if you surround yourself with people who have a very narrow view of spirituality or pursuing your dreams or passions, or if you're around people who are boundaryless, that's how you'll see the world. That's what you'll see as possible. That's why you need to surround yourself with people, as Lacey Phillips calls, expanders. You need to surround yourself with people who are doing the thing that your soul is deeply calling you towards. And it's saying, we could do that. And you're going, no, we can't, because you're still seeing what's possible through the limitations that you've learned. But if you say, go on the internet and you look up, tell me about somebody who did this, this, and this. Tell me about someone who built a $1 million business doing this. Tell me about someone who just made enough off their land and their food to not have to think about anything again or work, right? So it's not about wealth in the monetary value. It's about wealth in terms of freedom. Freedom to choose for yourself. Freedom to choose how you spend your time. And I really do think that on some level, in order to exit the system, you have to buy your way out. We have to build wealth from it. We have to play the system. My friend's kid right now is going through the ultimate shit thinking everyone is a sheep. He's in high school. And that he's like completely rejecting the world. And I said to him, you rejecting the world just reinforces the world. You rejecting the system just reinforces the system. Instead, use the system. Know how it's played. Be the one who took the red pill. Understand the matrix. Understand the psychology of humans. Understand how wealth works. Understand how commerce works. Understand how business works. Understand how social media works. Understand how brick and mortar businesses work. Whatever you want to do. Like, you listening to this, you could master anything you want. You could become a master at anything for free. Now, granted, we buy things or pay for programs because they accelerate our learning. It's one place where we can get all the knowledge that we want. Like, I have a boundaries course. You take the boundaries course. It's just, you could just get it all right there. You want to get through a breakup? I have a breakup course. It's going to give it to you all right there. Sure, you could go out and capture and go study it and talk to ChatGPT and do all that stuff. But if people pay money for the simplicity of the localization of the resources, the step-by-step nature of it. And so there's nothing wrong, though, with going out and gathering it all. And you could go do that now. You could go learn how to do anything. I mean, freaking YouTube's amazing. And here we stay in these average places. We stay in these average experiences. We stay in these average relationships. And I think it's because we fear that if we woke up, everything would have to fall away. As Ram Dass said, not only is the real work in the privacy of your own heart, it's that it's really time to see through the absurdity of your own predicament. You aren't who you thought you were. So this is your chance to just find yourself in this moment to recognize that you're not who you thought you were, that all these limitations that you have on your relationships in your life and you as a parent or you as a partner or your partner or your business or your work or any of that. Imagine if you didn't believe it. Imagine if all of a sudden you didn't buy into it. You didn't buy into the limitation. You went, you know what? I can heal this. I can change this. I can create that. Now what? Now what's possible for you? You won't be able to drink anymore because it's holding you back. You won't be able to be smoking weed like a fucking chimney all the time because you know it's numbing you from your possibility. It's numbing you from the voice that's calling within you that says there's more. Just like the alcohol, just like the porn, just like the fucking social media scrolling. It is all just distracting you from the possibility and potential of your own being, and you fucking know that. I know that. I know that when I fall down those rabbit holes that I'm like, oh, this rabbit hole is a convenient escape from dealing with the challenging things of my life. But life is challenging. And you know there's that famous meme that went around that caused a shitstorm. Which is, marriage is hard, divorce is hard, choose your heart. Obesity is hard, being fit is hard, choose your heart. Being in debt is hard, being financially disciplined is hard, choose your heart. Communication is hard, not communicating is hard, choose your heart. Life will never be easy, it will always be hard, but we could choose our heart, pick wisely. You know, it made me think that in the moment of the hardest moments of your life will be the moments you want to throw away all of the habits and rituals that you have that keep you fucking centered in your soul, right? The habits and rituals like meditation, exercise, nourishing food. You're going to want to lean into porn, dopamine hits from social media, smoking weed, and chewing weed, taking edibles. I mean, you can get weed in so many forms now. You're going to want to distract yourself with things like Tinder and Bumble and all that kind of bullshit, because they're all designed to hook into the desire to not hear yourself, to not hear the voice that knows. When the voice that knows might actually cause some shit in your life. But aren't you tired of the complacency and just letting life be as it is? Aren't you tired of waking up every day knowing exactly how it's going to look because it's somber and you have to die inside? I remember one of the first personal growth programs I ever went to was Lisa Nichols, and a woman said to her, "When I leave this, I know I need to go back and have a hard conversation with my husband." And Lisa Nichols said to her, "When you were growing up, whoever told you that one day you wouldn't have to put on your big girl pants and have hard conversations?" We need to confront life. You need to stand up to it. And when you stand up to life and you stand up to the challenges of your life, you stand up for yourself. When you are complacent and when you let life just happen to you and you acquiesce to it, a part of you is dying. And I think we confuse that a part of us needs to die, that part that does, the complacent part, the part that is hopeless and has given up, that part needs to go. We confuse that with all of us needs to give up. All of us needs to go. No, just a part of us does. But there's such a beautiful part of us. And in this audio from Ram Dass, he talks about, we all have a fire that was inside of us. But for some of us, it only feels like there's ashes now. But if you dig in those ashes, you'll find an ember. And that's all you need is that ember. So if this podcast helps you dig through the ashes to find that ember, to know that there is one part of you, one cell, who's like, fuck yeah, let's fucking go. There's one part of you that's like, this is everything. We've got this. That's all you need. And the positive habits like meditation and nourishing foods and exercise and being with good people and deciding what you want to think and how you want your mind to be and what you want to focus on, all of that, that's fanning that ember to make it become a fire again. And you owe that to yourself to not let life's downs decide for you how your life's going to be. And I'm not saying that you couldn't have had a boatload of shit come in your life. But my question to you is, are you going to let that stop you? Or are you going to let that actually create the version of you who's below all of the bullshit? Let it be the thing that liberates you from all the identities you had, all the limiting beliefs you have. So this is this opportunity that we all have. I'm not alone in this. As I share this with you, I speak it to myself. We owe it to ourselves to be everything that we can be. I didn't come to this planet to fuck around. And I always think of that premise that if you don't complete your mission on this life, you got to come back. And I'm like, listen, this place is kind of fucked up. Like, don't get me wrong. I love love and I love all the things. But the earth has got some fucked up stuff. And I'm like, you know what? I'm going to eat everything on my plate. I'm going at it. Because that, for me, is inspiring to myself. Those are the kinds of habits and rituals and choices that actually speak hope and possibility into me, but then people around me. And then I become proud of myself. And then I decide what kind of self-worth I'm going to have. I don't let other people decide it. And when you let other people's opinions about who you are and what you want to do determine who you are and what you want to do, then you're going, your whole self-worth is dependent on other people. That's why the initiation through the storm of being disliked and not getting approval is necessary for the separation of how you feel about you from how other people feel about you. So on all that note, let it fucking rip. Let it rip. Let the world know you. Let it see you. Let your relationships know you. Let them see you. Let the truth that you reveal in all the relationships in your life, let them be liberating to everyone involved. Let the legacy that you leave to your children be one of love and connection and just ferocious commitment to love and expansion, to you bringing yourself fully alive and to you inviting everyone to do that too. What a beautiful invitation that is. If you said to me, Mark, this is what I need to come fully alive in a relationship. This is what I desire. I'm committed to creating that. Are you too? I could say no, But how could I ever say no to what brings you fully alive? And when we honor our own boundaries, needs, and values, we will honor other people's boundaries, needs, and values. So go become an exemplary version of yourself. And that is the invitation for others to do the same.
When we started writing our thoughts down on paper, it opened up endless possibilities. Ideas could grow beyond the borders of the mind, and it changed the world. Somewhere along the way, we lost touch with paper, distracted by devices made for every purpose except for thinking and focus, on edge, waiting for the next notification. But what if new technology didn't pull us away from paper, but brought us closer to it? Listen. That's not paper. It's the sound of the new Remarkable Paper Pro, rewriting the future. A paper tablet with a true color ink display, gentle reading light, and unheard of tactility. With digital features for taking notes, thinking, and organizing, without any distractions. Paper is about to change the world again. Get your paper tablet at remarkable.com today.